Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Happy Saturday.
Hey, BE community. How y'all doing? We back. And we have a very special guest in the building. So give it up for the amazing Minister JoJo McNeil. How you doing today?
How you doing?
I'm good. Good. We're glad to have you. And y'all gonna find out. If you don't know, you're gonna know. But I will say this, BE community, if y'all remember, was it our Girl Talk finale? I feel like it may have been. It was one of our last episodes from the previous season, where we talked about Esther's Arrival Conference put on by the amazing Portia Love. And so if you heard us talk about that, this is one of the special guests,
yes,
the speakers from that event. So we're going to dive on in. So, but yes, how are you doing, Toya?
You know, living the dream, staying busy with the four kids,
yes,
working, all the things.
Yes.
Yes.
Life is life-ing.
Life is always life-ing.
Yes. How I always, because I am not in school, but I always feel sad when school starts. Like I am in school.
We all feel sad.
I've been thinking that for the kids. I've been thinking that for the parents.
The teachers, everybody.
How was adjusting getting back into the groove?
It was a slow burn for me.
A slow burn. What's
yes. It's like, you've been sleeping in,
yeah,
you've been relaxing, reading, watching,
yeah,
movies, and going on vacations, and it's like, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's back.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the grind, back to work, getting up early, getting, yes, back on the routine. It's very hard to get the kids, like,
yeah,
back on routine, so.
That, yeah. I was talking to, oh gosh, a family friend, actually a family member, she was saying she started our nieces and nephews, like getting them into the pattern, like early, like the bedtime moved up a little bit each week so she could kind of,
mm-hmm,
get them. I could imagine it being hard.
Yes.
I struggled just coming back from a weekend.
We tried to move. We kept moving it back. And then it was like cold turkey. I'm like, sorry, bedtime, 8 o'clock.
Yep.
See you in the morning.
It's all right. You do what you can.
You guys will be okay. They came home sleepy. So y'all better get into bed tonight.
If you wanna be refreshed in the morning. So here we are. All right. Well, without further ado, we're gonna officially introduce our special guest. So I will turn it over to,
yes,
you, Toya.
Yes. JoJo Renee is a passionate minister of the gospel who has been preaching since 2019.
Amen.
Walking in a prophetic and intercessory calling, she carries a heart for purity, revelation, and the transformative power of God's presence. Her ministry began as Revelation Purity Walk and has since transitioned into JoJo Renee Ministries, expanding the reach and depth of her mission. Through her weekly 6 a.m. prayer gatherings,
amen,
on Facebook and TikTok, JoJo leads believers into deeper intimacy with God, equipping them to walk boldly in their faith and divine purpose.
Yes.
Known for her authenticity and anointing, she desires to see lives change, chains broken, and hearts set ablaze for Jesus. So this, yes, is JoJo.
Woo! Okay, now whoever wrote the bio.
But look, how often do you get up at 6 a.m. and leave?
That's
prayer?
Real.
Once a week.
What day? Okay.
So because my schedule is so busy,
mm-hmm,
I have to let everyone know the night before.
Got it.
So I don't have a specific day. I wish
that's
I could.
That's all right. Look,
all over the place.
6 a.m. in and of itself is a With a hand clap. It's a hand clap. So, yes. Okay, now y'all, we do a segment called What Had Happened Was, okay? And so what had happened was we talk about either how we met you or you met us, but in this case, this is how we were introduced to the Minister JoJo, okay? Like the JoJo, Minister JoJo experience, okay? So it was experience. I'll just say it, y'all, because, okay, here it is.
I got a reenactment for y'all.
I knew she was about to get ready. She's going to clown on me. Don't trip. Earlier this year, if you're watching this live, early this year, the amazing Portia Love hosted her first, I want to say it was her first conference. Her first conference, Esther's Arrival. Amazing, excellent job. Qualities start to finish, top to bottom. She had heavy hitters, like some we knew, some we didn't, like this one right here. Right. Okay. And so, but everybody was just amazing and fly in their own right. Okay. So they did a panel discussion. We had VIP tickets. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. And so, and each person had their moment to speak. Right. So this one come to the stage, right? First of all, looking like Christian Barbie or something. I was like, why is she so fly? Like beautiful fly. Right. And delicate, and you know, so I just didn't know what to expect. I'm just gonna say I know what to expect. She got up there, y'all, and preached fire. Like you would have thought it was an old Black Baptist granddaddy up there preaching. She was coming hard. Like she was coming so hard. I was like, Lord, let me get myself right. Let me get myself
right. And if I remember correctly, your message was on Sarah. Was it Sarah? I think it was on Sarah.
She like, I didn't preach so much.
I think it was on
Rachel and Leah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Rachel and Leah.
Somebody that was barren.
Yeah.
So she came with it, right? Okay. Yeah. So I was just like, oh my gosh, who is this person? Like, I need to like find out more about her. Mm-hmm. So, and then Portia Love is like, look, if you're going to come, you're going to be set free. You're not going to be the same by the time you leave. And so we had a moment of prayer at the end, right? So we, you know, standing up, we praying and what have you. This one come right next to me. Her husband, he's on the set, y'all, as well. Just like super, just like amazing support, presence, all of that. So they're standing next to each other as she's about to pray for people. She starts standing next to me and she just was like, what you want me to pray for? Super, super nonchalant. I was like, can you pray for our family that the Lord would open my womb? Like she started praying me down. When I say praying me down, amen. Praying me down to the ground.
Listen. Y'all, you know you're supposed to be focused and concentrated on the spirit of God when God is moving, right? But you know I had to pee. So I was like, because I could get loud in that screaming. It was like a and then later I was like, is that Maya? I was on the ground.
This one right here was like, no. I said, So all that to say, this woman is a powerhouse. Like for real, she's like a king size.
I thought I was gonna come in. You scared me. You scared me. I was like, okay, you gotta get me next time.
It was good. So, that was my impression. Do you have anything you would add? I know I had to break that one down, y'all, because she did pray me down for real.
Yeah, I think I kind of was adding into your to your section.
When I tell you, she was not playing. She wasn't playing.
Yes.
So that's what happened.
You gotta pray for me like that. Yes,
please, ma'am. I got you.
So we have a segment called Your Origin Story, where we like to give our Becoming Eva fans a little tidbit about who our guest is, their family, where they're from, what it was like growing up in your family.
Yeah, so growing up in my family, Detroit culture is different. So my mom, of course, she's saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost.
Okay.
She was a mom where you didn't have a choice to go to church in the morning. Even if you came home late, you still getting up and going to church the next morning. So she really introduced me to God at a really young age. But being in Detroit, we are just not really family oriented at all. Like we're just not. It's kind of weird. Like it's I have some family members that may view each other as enemies, and I have some family members that view each other as family. So growing up, she still made sure we was always in the church, but my dad's side, you know, it's always the mom. Sometimes it's just so holy, and then the dad's side a little more hood. So that's kind of how it was for me. You know, I kind of got the best of both.
That's what I was about to say. You need a little hood every now and then.
So I got a little something to me, a little hood.
Yeah. Wow. My dad's also from Detroit as well. All the McCants clan.
I didn't know that.
That's where they're from. Detroit area.
What part of Detroit?
I can't remember.
Have you visited that side of the family?
I have.
Up in Detroit?
I have.
Oh, wow.
How's your experience in Detroit? Well, my mom kind of kept us very, like, very protected. She didn't let us, you know, be out and about with the cousins. We stayed in the house a lot. Mm-hmm. Visit your auntie. This your auntie. That's your grandma, you know.
See you later.
All right, we going out back to Missouri.
Wow. Detroit has evolved a lot, though. Absolutely. Correct me if I'm wrong, over the years.
Absolutely.
It's been a while since I've been there, but the last time I was there, I know they were like, I guess you would call it the regentrification process, because there was a lot going on downtown, like on the Riverside area. And I've heard it's just gotten better since then.
Yeah, but it is.
I'm sure there are still hood parts, but how would you? She was like, absolutely. Okay, but yeah, I'm sure the Detroit experience is a unique one.
Detroit is such a unique place. When people say, certain states or cities is not a real place, Detroit is just not a real place to me. Like, some of the things that you see, it's like, there's something I saw on my timeline recently, and somebody was riding a go-kart down the street, and somebody just ran up on them, punched them off the go-kart, and tried to take their go-kart. And I just knew for a fact it was in Detroit. And I looked at the comments, and it was, because that's some Detroit stuff.
Oh my god!
Like, it's just different. Like, Detroit is just a different place.
So you just—I
love it.
You gotta watch your back. It sounds like most of the time.
You absolutely do, but God has always kept and protected my family. So I do love it.
Amen. I love it though. Wow. Welcome to Detroit, y'all. Be careful out there.
Welcome to Detroit.
Be careful. So we know that you are a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. When did you really first start developing your personal relationship with God? Before you became JoJo Ministries?
That's true.
Like, when did you really start developing?
I really started developing my personal relationship with God probably when I was 7.
Wow.
Yeah, it's my mom, when I say she trained up a child, her pearls are going to be great.
Amen.
She did not let up. But I do remember
Amen, mama.
Being in kindergarten or some. I think me and my husband had this conversation the other day. I was telling him I was a little boy named Anthony in my kindergarten class. I just walked up to him randomly one day, like, who do you worship? And he was like, my auntie. And I was like, no, you're supposed to worship Jesus. And I was like, 5.
Not God. Jesus.
Okay. I was 5 doing that. So I was introduced at a very, very young age. But I really started developing my relationship with him when I was 7. So I started talking to him, praying to him. And y'all know when we are kids and you ask God for something, he gonna give it to you, because he's trying to win you over to show you, you know, I am who I say I am. So when I was a kid, I used to just pray to him, ask him for things, and it would just happen like that.
Wow.
Man, I wish I still had that grace.
Yes. Well, that is true, because I'll tell a little story. Yesterday, my oldest daughter came home, and she had this really bad cut on her ear. Like, she was in tears, like, mommy. Like, it looked really, really bad. Mm-hmm. She's like, when are you coming home? And so I came home. She waited up. And so she was like, can you pray? And so, you know, I laid hands, prayed over her, and I asked God to heal her ear by tomorrow morning.
Amen.
And let it not irritate her throughout the night. And so this morning, I'm doing her edges for school, and she's like, oh, don't get my ear. And so I'm looking at her ears, I'm like, wait a minute, which ear?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't see it anymore. She's like, what?
All right, God.
I said, it's completely healed.
All right, Lord.
And she went and got up, and she was like, it's completely healed. Yay. And like, I mean, it's not that I didn't believe, but I was kind of like,
quick for the kids.
Jesus loved the kids.
She's like, I'm gonna make sure to praise God tonight.
I love it.
That is so true.
That's amazing. So that, I mean, literally for that to start at such a young, like full force at a young age, not like, oh, now lay me down to sleep, but like, no, you need to worship Jesus. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So take us into like your evolution. Like, did you from, you know, itty bitty child to adolescence and, you know, teenager, even like, you know, I feel like most teenagers have like a rebellious time. Have a rebellious time or a time where you were just like, I really need to question some things or come to know for myself. I don't know. Were there any, you know what I mean? Any seasons like that?
For sure. So I was always born and raised in church, never had like a prodigal son, you know, moment or whatever. But what I can 110% say is that I used to fight. Like, I really feel like I had a spirit, mamas, grandmas, aunties, baby, like you name it. I'm I was swinging first, like it was bad. And I went to like the neighborhood. I went to like the neighborhood school in Detroit. So they see me like I used to dance with the band. My nickname on the back of my band thing was like Church Girl. So of course I was like a little skinny because I guess small now. So back then I was even smaller. So they used to see me as like the little skinny prissy church girl, and they would just try to use me as an example and try to
push you around.
I couldn't do it.
You gotta whop them a couple times.
I did.
Do you have like siblings? Like, did you have to, I guess, like depending on like in your household, did you have to like fight at all growing up? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I fought my siblings too. So I have a sister. A big sister, she's 1 year older than me, and a little brother.
Okay.
And another big brother.
Okay.
And like I said, I feel like it was a spirit. I used to watch Bad Girls Club. You ever heard of that?
I've heard of it, never watched
I've
it.
I've heard of it too.
I used to tune in on time every week.
On time.
And one day in particular, my sister, it was just me and my sister in the house, and I stood at the top of the stairs and just yelled, like, if anybody in this house wanna fight me, then what's up? So she came to the bottom of the stairs and was like, hey, you know, it's just me here. And I repeated myself, like, if anybody in this house wanna fight me, then what's up? And I used to just start stuff just because I wanted to fight. I was a hot mess. And but still was going to church every Sunday, dancing on the praise. I mean, just dancing on the praise dance. That was when I was about, that happened up until, I'm 27 now, so that happened until I was like 21.
Wow. Now you say it was a spirit. My question is, because I feel like, and I'm in the process of writing a book, and one of the things that I have or am discovering is, especially when you talk about like spiritual warfare, is like, you got to be a fighter. So
I agree.
Do you feel like, because I feel like it's just how God wired you. It was just misdirected.
Yeah.
But do you feel that way, or do you really feel like it was a problem and something needed to change?
I feel like it was misdirected, and because one of my mentors, she's the exact same way. She just gave me language for it to understand.
Amen.
It definitely was just misdirected, because in the realm of the spirit, like, I literally, you know, humbly speaking, my friends call me like a bulldog, you know, when I go into the spirit. So it's like, now I have, you know, I can put that aggression or that whatever towards our real enemy.
Yeah. Was there anger at all attached to it, or was it just like,
I just want to fight?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It wasn't even anger, because the crazy thing is, I have a lot of patience, and I always had a lot of patience.
Wow.
I just wanted to, I just wanted to fight sometimes. I really did.
Wow.
I just wanted to fight. Like, my first response, I was in my immaturity, my first response was, we're not going to talk it out. We're not going to, you know,
got it.
All you're getting, get understanding. None of that. Like, we're just going to fight. We're going to fight. You look at me, we're going to fight. Like, just. That was my only way of resolution.
Wow.
Goofy, really.
Okay, so what was the turning point for you?
The turning point for me to stop fighting. For one, I had to like fully surrender everything. So I had a false ideology. I tried to make it my own doctrine. Mm-hmm. So I've never smoked, I've never drank, and I waited until marriage to, you know, lose my virginity. So in my eyes, not. I thought I was holy.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, maybe I could just fight. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't doing like that. Yeah. All that other stuff people doing. Like, maybe I could just fight. Mm. But when I came into Revelation, you know, of the things that really breaks God's heart, and I stopped operating in religion years ago. Mm-hmm. So I operated more in relationship. Like, that genuinely breaks God's heart when we do certain things. And then also, I realized I actually have things to lose. Mm-hmm. I really, like, one wrong decision, one wrong anything can change your life for the rest of your life, just like that. True. So
that's true.
Thinking long term instead of short term.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So when and how did you truly discover your passion for ministry? Because you are, like we said, are a powerhouse.
At a young age.
Yes.
I really feel like God put that desire there. Like, once my mom gave me the introduction, I took it from there. But I would just say I just kept seeking God. And the more I kept seeking him, he would speak to me. Like, I would be sitting. I think I was like, I don't know. I know I was under 10, and I walked up to my grandma one day and was like, every time I see you, I keep seeing like the name Edward, like, over your head. And the whole, everybody in the room, all the grown-ups turned around with like these big old googly eyes, like, huh? And basically it was somebody she shouldn't have messed with. But anyway, God told me to tell her to, somebody that she wasn't supposed to be messing with.
Wow.
Oh. But I know I told her, like, God told me to tell you to leave whoever this Edward person is alone.
Wow.
So he would speak to me very, very clearly at such a young age. So I just followed that voice all the time. Mm. Like, I want to know more about you. I want to learn more about you. So that's kind of how our relationship developed. And I never, he kept me. I never really left. So I don't know. I'll be minding my business, and he would just be talking to me as a little girl. And I would, okay, let me go pray. Let me go find some gospel music or something. Or just, you know, reading the scriptures and stuff like that.
Now, you talked about being, this was off, you know, behind the scenes, we were getting ready and stuff. You were talking about being more introverted. Like, did it take time for you to accept the call to, like, actually share the gospel, to preach the gospel on platforms? Or was it like, okay, the Lord said, you know?
Yeah, it took a long time. So I started preaching in 2019, but up until 2019, I was a praise dancer. So I was praise dancing since a kid consistently. And when he was trying to, you know, pull me into preaching and speaking, I'm kind of like, me? Like, you know, are you sure? But he just began to counsel me, tell me, you know, what he's called me to do, how he's called me to walk, and, you know, where he's called me to. And I just started praying, you know, and walking with God. And I also went through a really, really bad storm in 2018.
Okay.
Like, a very public bad storm in 2018. So because it was so public, I just kind of went into a cave, because I was already an introvert. So I'm like, y'all would never see me. So I went into a cave. And in that cave, I hit rock bottom for real. So I had nothing but prayer. So I just started praying. And as I was praying, people started calling me, asking for prayer. And it's like, I can't even pray myself out. Like, I got a lot of stuff going on. So I don't know how I was ministering while I needed to be ministered to, but I was praying, and then somebody was like, hey, so-and-so said, can you pray on their prayer call? And then, can you pray on their prayer call? Then, can you open in prayer for this service? Like, it just, you know, started doing things like that. And then it was like, my spiritual father, we had a youth revival or something in our church. And my spiritual father was like, you know, hey, can you preach? You know, I'm like, you asked me to do my first sermon. Not can I preach? Like, you want me to do my first sermon? Like, okay. So that's kind of how that.
How did your family receive that, like, when you started preaching and going into ministry like that? How did they receive
They knew it? It. Like, they were so happy and so proud, but they already knew it, because when I was, like, 7 or 9, I would walk up to my mom with the Bible, open up the Bible, like, okay, let's preach. And I would just find something. Not just like I'm preaching. So they kind of already... They knew, but it was just exciting for them to see me fully accept the call.
I love that. Wow. Whew. Well, do you have anything else for the origin story before we go into becoming? Let's go into becoming.
All right. Well, you segued us on in. So I'm curious to know, like, when you're talking about your spiritual father was like, hey, can you, you know, share the word? And you like, are you asking me to preach my first sermon? Like, can you take us behind the scenes a little bit as far as like, what is the process of like becoming a minister? And I ask because I know there are more traditional routes than others. Yeah. So I'm just curious to know, like, if it's like, you know, if you had like mentorship, if you're like, okay, I'm going to seminary, if you had, I mean, there's so many different paths, but curious to know about your path and if there's anything you recommend.
So with my path, I was kind of confused. Mm-hmm. Like, because I too, like for anybody who's watching, who mm-hmm. does not know where to start, I literally was like, wait, how do you become a minister? Mm-hmm. Like, what do I do? Because I want to do it the right way.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it the religious way, but I want to do it the right way. So what do I do? So the advice I got, which worked, was like, you need to tell your covering, hey, I think I'm called to preach. Mm. Or I think I'm called to be whatever it is.
Gotcha.
So I called him and he was like, okay, well, tell me, why do you think that? And then I told him, every time I open up the text, he gives me revelation I've never heard before or that that's not on the paper. Mm-hmm. And I said, is that like, I don't know if that's a good thing or bad mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. I said, and I have a heart to study, like not a heart to perform or not mm-hmm. a heart to have a mic in my hand. Like I love the word of God. I told him, like, you know, he wakes me up in the middle of the night for me to pray. Like, I just tell him a laundry list of things. So he told me, like, okay, well, Bible study is every Tuesday and I don't see you. So you need to start coming to Bible study. And because I'm not gonna lie, you guys, the church is, they have a lot of older, mm-hmm. more seasoned members. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me and my friends, it's like, we're going to be the youngest. Like, the age gap is, like, 40 years. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to, everyone in there is retired already, you know. Yeah. Just, so, yeah, he made me start coming to Bible study every single week. He wanted to see my consistency.
And that's just, real.
If I'm paying attention, if I'm on my phone.
Character, yeah.
For sure. He made me clean up stuff. You know, he took me to a couple tests. And then you do, like, your catechism courses or your ministerial courses. Things like that.
Now, those courses, do you take them online? Do you take them at your church? Like, where do you take those courses or how do you take those courses?
So, well, for me, it was in the church.
Okay.
And we had a minister or somebody mm-hmm. who would teach the classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, they would tell you, you know, what you're getting ordained as mm-hmm. or licensed as.
Got it.
You know what it is. But I do know some people, they did like online through seminary. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was just through the church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, I love that. And I shout out to your covering for real mm-hmm. because it was like,
the Bishop Charles H. Allen III.
Hey, shout out for real. Because I mean, I feel like nowadays it's, anybody can have a platform, quite honestly.
Anybody can.
And most people do, whether they should or should not, you know, saved or unsaved, Christian or not. But for your covering to be like, first off, okay, that's great. Now, why do you think this? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. because I know your calling is what's going to keep you. It's not the platform or the following. Like, there's a lot of sacrifice. There's a lot of... there's just a lot of sacrifice and attached to that calling.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate the fact that he was like, look now, do you really want to do this or you just like the sound of it?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even like you were saying, the steps that he took you through as far as like, well, first of all, let me see if you're consistent. Can you follow as much as you want to lead? You know, are you willing to serve? Are you humble? Are mm-hmm. you consistent? Are you, you know, do you have integrity? Like, absolutely. I think those are more important, quite honestly, than the actual gift mm-hmm. of speaking and teaching. And so shout out to him for real, because that's rare nowadays. Nowadays, it's like, oh, you gifted. Go on up there.
He actually vetted me and discipled me.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm so big on character and integrity is because that's what he has been teaching me since I was 9.
Amen.
Consistently, you know, to have character and
it's that's so good. Because I mean, we do nowadays, we see people and we wonder why they're falling left and right, because they don't necessarily have that foundation. So praise God for that.
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about challenges and obstacles. Okay. First off, you're young.
Yeah.
Second off, you're a female.
It is.
Female of color. Yeah. So did you encounter any challenges in the church or outside of the church? Because we know it's you know, you could get it on either side, you know? So did you encounter any challenges as you were like stepping into this calling? And if you did, how did you overcome them?
Absolutely. So I'll do two, but one of the challenges was, when I first started preaching, a lot of people underestimated me, which I know I come off just a little prissiest. Like, I know I'm very girly. I'm very pretty.
Love it, though. I'm here for it.
But all I kept hearing is, like, she's too pretty to preach. Or she look like a first lady. Look at how she carry herself. She don't dress like a preacher.
Which,
you know, what does a preacher dress like biblically? But, you know, it got so bad. One time I was just like, you know, this is for males anyways, like more men are preachers and bishops and like more than females are. Like, God, seriously, like you can keep me. Like, I did not ask for this. Like, seriously. And I'm an introvert. Like, I was good. But you know, God did ended up affirming me, you know, telling me, like, you know, you believe in everyone else around you, but what would you do? You know, like, what if you believed what I said about you? And when he told me that, it skyrocketed me. Like, I'm no longer auditioning to be accepted. I'm not going to try to convince you that I'm called. I'm not going to try to convince you that, you know, God's hand is on my life or anything crazy like that. So it was very discouraging. Anything I would say or preach, people would try to pick it apart or fact check it or just they would just really irritate me.
Haters be everywhere.
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 And they were mainly male.
Oh, of course. Ooh. Of course. Because you were like encroaching on a male dominated territory.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so
you know, they were probably intimidated too.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, heavy on the unfortunately, I was dating someone one time and we were both preachers and he looked at me and said, I don't understand why you're getting booked to preach more than me. You've only been preaching for a year. I've been preaching for 5 years.
Mm.
And I'm like, dang, like, I didn't know.
It's a competition.
I didn't know he was clocking me like that. So just dating, of course, my husband is not like that at all. Thanks be unto God. Amen. He loves and accepts all of me. But, you know, even sometimes with dating in the past, men will be jealous or intimidated of you, especially if you do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another challenge that I face and kind of still face, not as bad anymore, though, is that men would book me to preach and then think like they're going to come to my hotel room.
Oh, no.
Or think that like I owe them dinner or something afterward, or their intentions were
to be looking. You should be looking like,
yeah. Their intentions weren't pure. So I would think that you actually enjoy my ministry.
Or
I would think that God placed you on, you know, on your heart to ask me to minister. But no, it's like motive behind it.
Absolutely. So
when men book me, I'm very, very, very picky for the most part.
And praise God that your husband travels with you.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm so happy I have a husband now.
Mm-hmm.
I have endless crazy stories, but I'm just happy. You know,
I
have a husband to come with me now.
We gonna get to that one too, because y'all, I just appreciated your testimony about your husband. So we gonna get to that. But I want to ask, like, what, because I think most people, especially if they're young in the faith, and they automatically hear somebody say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and they're single or they're dating, it's like their guard goes down. And they're like, oh, he's a Christian. I could trust him. What words of wisdom would you give? Like, how, I mean, we talk a lot about discernment, but I don't know if there are any like red flags or just some practical tips that you can share for how to navigate as a single in the church, unfortunately.
Yeah. So if you're single in the church and and you want to make sure that you are dating the right way, the first thing that I would say is, does that person carry the fruits of the spirit? And I don't mean the false fruits.
Sorry. Amen.
I don't mean the false fruits, because the devil can give you false signs as well. So I would say, like, are they patient? Are they kind? You know, are they nice? Like, just some, well, not some, all the fruits of the spirit. And then watch their actions. So you can only fake being something for so long.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying fake for years and years and years, but I'm saying use your discernment. Ask the Lord for the discerning of spirits, but also watch their actions. Their actions will always, always, always show. And I, of course, say don't settle. Don't put your standards on clearance, you know, just because you're lonely, because of course what God has for you is so much greater than what you have ever thought about or can even, you know, imagine. But I definitely would say vet them, try the spirit by the spirit, and see if they carry some of the characteristics of the fruits of the spirit.
I like that. Don't put your standards on clearance.
Yep. That's so good.
This is not the Walmart rollback.
I love it.
Like, marriage is for life.
Amen.
Like, it's,
amen.
Who you marry is, to me, like the second most important decision of your entire life.
It is.
Like,
they
can literally affect your day-to-day life.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is the segue that I wanted to walk into, because at the Esther's Arrival Conference, there was a panel discussion. We were talking about, I don't know if somebody asked about dating or something, but I loved what you said, because you were talking about your calling, number one, and because of your calling, how a lot of people expected or anticipated that you would be dating a deacon, an elder. Yeah. Like you said, you look like a first lady or what have you. And there's nothing wrong with that. All of those are great things. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the fact that you were like, in those cases, I didn't see consistency. Like, you went after the consistency.
Absolutely.
And which led you to a man of God, but someone who, and correct me if I'm wrong, was more behind the scenes. So I don't know if you want to share a little bit about that journey and even just any nuggets of wisdom on that.
Absolutely. So of course, y'all, when I first met my husband, we were both serving at the same church at the time. And when he started to pursue me, a lot of chatter, you know, everyone is like, you know, look how he dressed. You know, he wears streetwear. You're always how I just girly and dress clothes, if you will. And they were just telling me, like, you know, that he wasn't good enough for me, or that I should be like, someone actually told me verbatim, why are you dating him? You need to be with a prophet. And I'm like, well, what do prophets, who says they're not a prophet?
Exactly.
Where store do the prophets get their clothes from? So I actually laughed at that one. But yeah, so they would just always just tell me so many things of who they think I should look like. And I've dated pastors, preachers, apostles. Like, you know, I dated people, we look good on paper, or we our clothes would match, but they had no character, no integrity.
Yeah.
Like, my husband, straight off the bat, our first date, I mean, it's the most honest man I've ever met. Like, he was so honest. With any question that I had for him, I let him know up front, like, what it is and what it ain't. And you know, he was just so honest about, you know, where he was, where he's going, and everything like that. And so I would say, you guys, do not get so.
Now we're echoing. Okay. So that actually leads me to my next question. So, what I love, y'all, I love the story that she shared at, there was a panel discussion, I believe, during Esther's arrival, and I can't remember, someone asked about dating or something, and I love what you shared, because you were talking about how, and you mentioned this earlier, based on your calling and, you know, appearance and all of that, and other people's expectations, people were like, oh, you should be dating a deacon or elder, or you look like a first lady or what have you. And you were talking about how in previous relationships where you, you know, did spend time with a deacon or elder or what have you, like, they weren't necessarily consistent. And for you, consistency was like what stuck out to you when it came to when you actually met your husband. So if you can share a little bit about that story, that'd be great.
Yeah, so when me and my husband met, we both went to the same church, and a lot of people thought that I should have been
dating someone who looked like me on the outside,
T-wear, streetwear, sneakers, ball cap, and that sort. And I dressed pretty
girly, you know, pearly, and just pink and stuff like that.
And someone actually told me, you know, that I should be dating a prophet when I was dating him. But in the past, I've dated the people in the clergy, the pastors, preachers, apostles, like whatever it may be, and they did not have integrity or character or morals or anything like that. Like, they literally would minister in the pulpit and leave and just live a completely different life. But one thing I just love and adore about my husband is just his honesty and his integrity, how truthful he was. Like, on our first date, I definitely let him know what was going on, how he feels about where he is, where he's going. He just kept it real, literally from the start. I never in my life dated anyone ever as honest as him. When I say ever,
So
that right there, you know, real men like, wow, like this is one of them.
Samuel and David type of things where you know, he came to anoint the one that you know that didn't look like exactly, you know, on paper.
Exactly.
And I realized for a very long time that I was dating the same familiar spirit just in different bodies. So
I know because I feel like you need to unpack that.
Go ahead.
So they would always start a certain way. And they were always in the exact same way. And these men were jealous of me. They didn't want me to be everything that God called me to be. Because we look good on paper and, you know dress the same and things of that sort. That's what I kept accepting. And also, I did not pray before. I did not pray before I dated any of these people. The first time I actually invited God in, That's when I know. Every other time I just assume, like, he drops off, you know, things like that. So another thing I would say, guys, is God is going to see a suitable helpmate.
Like,
I know a lot of people have a long list. We all have a list for rip the list up, and of course, non-negotiable that you have to say. But God is going to see someone who's suitable. I'm called to my husband. My husband's called to me. He can handle all of my attitudes. When you have a ready way to call your life, you deal with warfare. Unnecessary warfare, just a lot of warfare. If I need 24-hour prayer, if I need 24-hour fast, just anything that I like, he understands. And he's equipped for it. So when God says he's going to send us a suitable helpmate, he's going to essentially give you someone, whatever areas that you like, they should supply and vice versa. But, you know, we can't just keep dating our type because our type keeps you in the same pattern, the same cycle over and over and over again.
My drop.
We got to unpack a little bit.
Okay. You said you realized you were dating familiar spirits in different bodies. Can you tell us a little bit more about that part?
So, the familiar spirit would be the wolf wrapped in sheep's clothing. So, they would start off like, oh, you know, you waited until marriage to lose your virginity. Like, you know, I'm selling them after me too.
Exactly.
Or, you know, oh, you know, you're a preacher. I'm, you know, like, let's pray together every night. Let's just, it, like, there would literally just be very false spirits, but they would all be wrapped in clergy. And because I kept going towards, well, not going towards.
Amen.
But because I kept accepting these type of people, I realized like they kept doing the same things. They were just different men, like cheating, being jealous of me, trying to make me fall into sin, trying to convince me to fall into sin, trying to make me abuse grace. This is the enemy, the devil. So I realized that it was a familiar spirit because they would all have the same tools in their arsenal. Like they would all use the same things over and over and over again.
And he was the only one that literally respected
when I say everything. Like our first date, I'm like, yeah, I don't get these people unless we make a committed relationship. And it wasn't weird, nothing weird or just, you know, he overall was just different from this familiar spirit. And I kept being attracted to a familiar spirit because That's all I knew.
And because I made it my own plan.
I think Proverbs talks about how we'll make our own plan.
And our own plan for our life. And it's almost laughable to God. So I think I made up in my mind, I'm going to marry or date whatever, a preacher, whatever, like me.
The familiar spirit, like I was partnered with the familiar spirit. I just made up my own will. I just thought I knew what I knew and I didn't know.
My Lord.
I feel like we can stay here for a bit. I'm just going to ask all my questions before we move on with our next. Because I feel like
And the reason I feel like we stay here is because like what you're describing is literally the world that we live in.
Absolutely.
And it's the story that I heard and seen from so many single women. Say Dan on stage. Where it's like they are constantly attracted to what they see on the outside, the persona, the charisma, the image, and they settle for it because it looks good. But then wonder why they're getting played, not just by that person, but literally by the devil.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess the question I want to ask is, because I feel like there are so many women that know that there's better out there, believe there's better out there, and even want to receive better. But when the better comes, because it's not packaged the way that they think it should be packaged, I think they often override or reject.
Yeah.
So I guess for you, what did it take for you to like do something different, to receive something different? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. My last relationship prior to my husband, I'm not
Yeah.
No, I will. But one thing I'm not going to do is keep going through
it. Amen.
And I noticed that pattern too. I noticed a certain pattern. Me and a person would break up after X amount of months, but it'll always be that same number of months. So I'm like, that's odd. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe in coincidences at all. So, but the very last time, I would just say he was a minister and he did something very outlandish.
Yeah.
Very not of God.
Yeah.
Very
not demure.
Okay. Like something just like.
Where's your conviction?
This is no judgment. I don't have a
yeah,
but it's just like the Bible says that we must live above reproach. So when you accept the call of God in your life, you're a sinner. Yes, you all fall short, but like at some point you cannot turn your sin into a lifestyle and just clock in it with church and then live your life outside. So he did something completely just crazy. And the Lord showed me,
he did that on a Friday.
And then I couldn't, it just blew my mind. So from there. I took two years, a whole year off from dating to do it God's way, so it took that last man of God to cheat and just live a double life for me.
And
it took like I was like, you know what, God, I've been picking all these people, and it's been the same outcome every single time. I can't do it no more. So that very last time, I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna let you pick. I want the man of God that you know is your will for me. I don't care what he looks like, what it smells like, how tall he is, where he's from, is it Detroit, in another state. At that moment, I fully surrender my love life. The moment that you fully surrender your love life, that's when God can do what he really wants. But both of y'all can't have the will.
Talking about that surrender.
Yes.
I've been there.
Yeah,
talking about the surrender, that's good. Okay, we almost there.
Okay, so now that you're married,
amazing man of God. I'm curious, and Toya and I talk about this a lot. I mean, when you are a woman that is called to,
when you're a leader,
number one,
called to a platform, number two,
but
you're still alive,
which means you now have covering. I mean, you had covering before, but.
Now you have a different type of covering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Head of the household, man of God, someone who's accountable to God for your household.
Yeah.
You know, someone that you should be submitted to and really trusting to lead your household. Like,
what do those dynamics look like?
And I know it's different for everyone, but I really love to ask women,
especially
women that are women that are leaders,
that are women of God. What does it look like? How does that dynamic, how do you navigate that dynamic, if you will, as far as I know what I'm called to. I know what God has called me to do. I do it well, but at the same time, I'm a wife, and I'm submitted to my husband.
Absolutely. That's a great question. So I would say, you know, as strong women God.
You can have that aggression already in you.
And especially having a lady calling your wife, you're literally forced. What, like, my parents don't be, Daddy God.
You ever seen like the African, like Caribbean's plan? That's how. So, you know, having that very strong persona about myself,
I do know that. I'm called to be your wife first.
And
I believe that God really made us a certain way. He's so smart and just thinks about things. He's an amazing prophet. And I was so intrigued by his brain.
How can he help?
The body is
only if he's following Christ.
So if he's following Christ, I have no problem, you know, following him. He lets me do my thing. And, you know, I let him do it. Like, we just help each other.
So in certain areas, I'm stronger. In certain areas, he's stronger. You know, the Bible says that we are the weaker vessel. So since I know that, you know, I let him take the lead. I let him.
Like he just leads him perfectly. I don't have to, you know, feel like I'm better or, you know, that
I know more. Like, I do know when it comes to prayer, you know, maybe I may have a little more stamina, you know.
You know, when I say
I influence him in a positive way.
I love it.
Whew. Toya, you have that when we noble character?
Yes, well, I want to ask real quick before we noble character. What's next for you? Because you're doing the most right now. You're doing a lot.
But you can share with people. Are we talking about the 6 a.m. prayer?
Are you
accepting booking or speaking engagements? Are you working on anything that you want to share?
Yes, yeah, so we are
accepting, you know, speaking engagements of things. You can either do the DM or the email, whatever, you know.
I'm very excited about the Enterprise book.
Do you want to share like your contact information, like either like your handles or your website where people can support you or follow you?
I don't have a website.
So my Instagram and TikTok is Real JoJo Renee.
And the ministry is JoJo Renee Ministry.
Okay.
And then Facebook is just JoJo Renee.
So Renee is R-E-N-E.
Got it. So if they want to join the 6 a.m. prayer, which one are they looking at?
So if you want to join the 6 a.m. prayer, the link is in my Instagram bio, but we do 6 a.m. We stream it on TikTok and Facebook Live. So if you look
me up on TikTok or Facebook Live,
The day before, I make a post and we're doing 6 a.m. prayer. I have to check it out. My youngest is on the bus at 6 a.m. every day. So we need to do our devotion right after that.
That's awesome.
All right,
let's move on into Noble Character.
So we have a segment called Noble Character where we typically like our guests. to recognize a woman who has impacted them, inspired them along their journey. And so this noble character for this week, we are actually recognizing you. Yes.
You are a woman of noble character. Continue doing the hard work of ministry, JoJo ministry,
being a role model, doing your live prayers at 6 a.m., keep following Christ, finish your book, get it published, and all the things.
Yes. Thank you. You are a blessing. So we want to acknowledge you too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Renee McNeil, you are a woman of noble character.
Yes.
All right. So y'all, if you didn't, take notes. It's still time to go back. I had to play anyway because it was just a lot. So we so enjoyed having you.
I so enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
And as always, get your merch at becomingevatoday.com. Look out on the website for some new merchandise coming soon. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram at becomingevatoday. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you soon.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast. Check us out at becomingevatoday.com or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com. See you next time.